Father, we ask you right now to blow our minds like you blew the door stone off the tomb. You sent an angel from heaven, says the Bible, that rolled away the stone. Not to let Jesus out, he was already out, but to let eyewitnesses in. And Father, we praise you this morning. And we ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Well, listen, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28 this morning, as we are now putting the capstone on our celebrations of this week, the Passion Week. Of course, today with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our whole theme has been only the cross. And that stays our theme this morning, but of course, with the glorious exclamation point on the end of the fact that he is resurrected, Jesus, that is, from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the most documented, listen, the most documented fact in antiquity. There is no greater documented event in the history of mankind than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know, by the way, of all of the collection of the entire writings of the scriptures, there are two overwhelming doctrines that all other biblical doctrines do not close or come close to comparing to. Number one is called eschatology. That is Bible prophecy. That's a big one. That's a big one. And it's spread throughout scripture. But that's the first one I want to mention to you, but it's not the first in doctrine. The first in doctrine is the salvation that comes to you and I through the resurrected Christ. That it's all about the resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that the four gospels, when you combine them, there is more teaching on the resurrection of Jesus than any other topic in the New Testament scriptures, and certainly true regarding the resurrection gospels that we read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 28, follow along with me. Now, after the Sabbath, that is now Sunday morning, the first day of the week, beginning to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Don't you like that little show of defiance? Like, hey, death, take this. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, that's the Roman centurions, the guards, shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said." That's awesome. "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." And then you can tell there's a pause there, huh? They went, they looked, they studied the empty tomb. And then look what the angel said. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 8. "So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." That fear is not the fear that you might be thinking. This is awe. Incredible reverence. Great joy. "And ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' And so they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." You got to wonder what was going on in their minds. Like, you're not leaving us again. They're hanging on to him. Verse 10. And this is our closing verse. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" The events of this week, Passion Week, the events of the weekend, as yesterday in history, had to be the saddest Saturday in the history of mankind, where all those who had been touched and experienced, heard the name of, saw the face of, heard the words from Jesus, the one who had changed the world 2,000 years ago, lay dead, silent, in a great tomb there in Jerusalem. And not only that, to ensure, because you got to put yourself in their sandals, to ensure their grief, they have come to a tomb that they already know has had an edict issued upon it, that the Roman government, not the religious rulers, not the Christians themselves, but the very power of Rome, said, mark this tomb with a Roman set of guards, which, by the way, that dispatch of Roman guards, that if anyone would break that seal, remember the scripture says that go and make the tomb secure, sealing it. And that was the great Roman seal. And if you broke that seal, it was punishable by death. By the way, if you failed in your centurion duty that was given to you in such a case as these men, no wonder why they shook for fear. If you failed at your orders, it was punishable by death. These poor Roman guards, they're there guarding the tomb of Jesus. And they think everything's fine until an angel descends from heaven, which tells you instantly Jesus didn't have to have that tombstone rolled away for him to get out, or else they would have been terrified much earlier. You understand that? You got that, right? The angel descended. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like to have an angel descend? I don't know. I don't want to know. But an angel descended and rolled back that stone, and those guards shook for fear for two reasons. They saw an angel. Number two, Rome had told them under orders, you die if this seal breaks. These guys have got to be terrified. Their hope, in a sense, listen, their hope, in a sense, was the dead Jesus on a cross was buried in that grave, because him being resurrected and getting out of that tomb would change the course of their lives this way. They would be living a very short life after the discovery of it. Number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ would change the course of the empire forever. And thirdly, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and these guards are going to die and the empire will be changed, then doesn't that presuppose the world will be changed? That we celebrate the cross this morning because and only because there's an empty tomb this morning. There's a resurrected Christ. As a Christian, we may be mocked, ridiculed, persecuted, and made fun of. We're the only ones in the world that are reciting a message that is absolutely, as we'll see in a moment, the message of the greatest hope of all mankind, that you and I worship a risen Christ. He's not dead. We can't go to Mecca or Salt Lake City or somewhere in the Orient to find or look or view the dead bones of a prophet. Our Lord God rose from the grave, says Revelation chapter 1. Jesus Christ is our living Savior. He's the God who came down, not only dying on the cross, but having been resurrected from the dead. And today is a day that no man can ever take away from us. Ever. It's impossible for anyone to steal it from us. And here are the reasons why. Number one, only the cross and the resurrected Christ provided you and I ultimate hope. Ultimate hope. You and I need ultimate hope this morning. Consider that for a moment. Look at it this way. Only the cross provides ultimate hope. Number one, ultimate hope is that God has spoken to you. And I want you to hear this. I understand on an Easter resurrection morning, there are all kinds of people in the sanctuary. Some believe, some don't believe. Some have come for the free dinner. Not here. There's no dinner here. But your friends don't want to mislead you. Your friends have said, come and I'll take you out to breakfast. Whatever your motive is, I want to, and understanding that, I have to have this message both come across where it excites the believer, but also challenges the unbeliever. And so when we talk about the cross and the resurrected Christ and that glorious empty tomb this morning, him providing you and I ultimate hope, it breaks down this way, that our ultimate hope is that God has spoken to you, even the non-believer. You cannot this morning say that God has not spoken to you. You might say, well, I don't believe in God. That doesn't matter. He still speaks. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that God, who at various times and in various ways has spoken in times past to the fathers by the prophets, listen, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. It's Jesus Christ. God has spoken to us, and he has spoken to us by Jesus Christ. The word of God reveals it's all about Jesus. I'm happy to say what I'm about to say. I don't have to look through this book and try to conjure up a Jesus. I don't have to look at this book and say, well, it all depends on how you interpret it. His name is from cover to cover in this book. It's all about him. And God has spoken. And you might say, well, I've never read the Bible. Well, guess what? You're not off the hook. Because God says in the Bible, for those who haven't read the Bible, that he uses the creation of mankind, or the creation, I should say, that's out there before mankind. God's creative works speak. Can I say shout? It yells of his glory and of his creation. You can't walk around saying that God doesn't exist. God has spoken to you. He's provided the ultimate hope to every one of us who will be honest enough to look into the face of God and say, I recognize, oh God, what you have done for me. That's right, what he's done for you. God wants you to have hope. As I said on Friday, I spoke to some young students this week at a local high school, and some of those students had no hope. One of those students had said that they were told by their parent that week, earlier that day, I don't love you and I don't want to see you again. And when God looks at us and says, I not only love you, I want to be with you. Isn't it wild? People, listen, God wants to be with you and I, and he has spoken that to us. And he speaks it to us. We get to know him. He has spoken. God's goodness, his life is amazing to us. He speaks to us by the things that you and I enjoy every day. I know for some this little drizzle is a pain, but it's a blessing. Every drop of it is a blessing. And if you don't like it, go climb on top of the mountain up here and get above the cloud level, and you'll be in the glorious sunshine. And when the sun comes out, don't you feel it on your skin? And if you don't like that, you know what? You can go down here and jump in the ocean and swim around and look at all the little fishes and all the stuff he's made. And if you don't want to do that, you can strap yourself to a piece of metal and go out and be rocketed out into space and look at the stars that he's created. You're not getting anywhere away from him because he speaks. He's speaking. And you cannot this morning deny the fact that he speaks. God has spoken. This morning, I was so excited, just like you. Every Sunday is a fantastic day. For that matter, as a Christian, every day is awesome. Sundays are very awesome, but ain't no day like this day. And I got to tell you, yesterday I posted on my Facebook spot this old recitement of a message by E.V. Hill. It's Friday. You ever heard that message? It's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. And I love that. And that got in my blood, and I woke up this morning, and my first thought was, it's resurrection morning. And the second thought that came into my mind was a song. I thought Andre Crouch had sang that song, but in fact, now I forget. I'm forgetting the song. How could I forget the song? Oh, happy day. Thank you. Did you read the Facebook spot? Thank you. Thank God for Facebook, I guess, huh? Oh, happy day. And I just clicked on. Oh, happy day. Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it. But I tell you what, I'm not going to sing it here, but I sang it at home. And I got to tell you, I clicked onto this one guy who sings the song, and I wound up buying his album this morning. He's some pastor. Pastor somebody from some church down south, and he's singing, oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. I went, yeah. Now, that's it. Why? God has spoken to us. Matthew 11:15 says, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear. Do you have two ears on your head? That's why God gave you two. In case one falls off, you still got one. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says, he goes on, But what or how shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace calling to their friends. And this is what they say. They cry to them. It's like those who play the flute and play for you, but you don't dance. He says, how shall I liken this generation? They've got ears, but they're not listening. He says, we have wept, but you've not cried with us. God is speaking, but many people are not listening. Are you listening? God is calling. I highly recommend you take his call. God is speaking. You can't deny it. Secondly, under this point, only the cross provides ultimate hope. It's this way. Ultimate hope is that God has loved you. If I were to say that God loves you, you would say, yeah, of course. It's true, he loves you. But in light of history and of this empty tomb that we celebrate this morning, God has loved you. Isn't it interesting that, as I said, the Bible, Jesus, there's more overwhelming facts regarding the existence of God and the person of Christ, that only a fool would willfully deny those things, that the evidence is overwhelming. And yet, even in our own culture, the evidence is needed. If there's an investigation regarding a death, you've got to find the body, right? You got to produce the body. What's that called? I remember, a corpus delicti or something, right? The body's got to be produced. Habeas corpus. The body's got to be produced. Where's the evidence? Have you noticed that people who argue against Jesus, they know enough inside to never say, where's his body? They can't handle the answer. Where's his body? Any kid in the Sunday school class will point to the evidence or where the evidence is housed. Where would they point? Where's the body? We're not looking for a body. Those who came to the tomb found an empty tomb, and then leaving the tomb, they found a living Christ. They found a living Jesus. God loves us. Yes, he loved us. He loves us. And he will love us. And all that is based upon what took place on the cross. Jesus Christ was our atoning blood sacrifice for all of our sins. Why would that happen? Well, I think God is, and you know, this is a big argument in the world today of people who want to bicker about this stuff and argue about it, that God committed the ultimate crime. The world right now is blaming God. Listen, they say they don't believe in him. They say they don't believe in the resurrected Christ. But there is a movement in the world, in religious circles, to say that God is guilty of murdering his son. That it is the worst act, and this is the word they use, that God sending his son to the cross is the worst act of child abuse the world has ever seen. Did you know that is a theological argument among some idiots today? And I use that word affectionately. It's an insult to God's love for you. Jesus was your and my atoning sacrifice. The Bible says, Jesus said it himself. John 15. I'm sorry, am I yelling? I'm having one of those days. I'm telling you, I had no choice in what color I was born. After hearing those songs, I was born a white man. But down deep inside, I want you to know that I can hear the words in my heart and mind when I hear Jesus say in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you. Listen. That my joy may remain in you. Does he not love you, my friend? And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment. This is my order. I issue this decree that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. How can someone say those words or read them with an indifferent heart or a cold heart? God loves you, and let far too many people today take the love of God and they just throw it on the ash heap of indifference. God loves you. But listen, that love comes at a great expense from him. And there's a great expense if you ignore it. In John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. Do you know him this morning? Jesus says, my sheep know me. Do you know him this morning? He is to be known. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What an awesome truth that is. The Bible says that God loves us. You can't tell me that the Lord has not challenged you about this truth in your life, even this morning, the non-believer. Well, I don't believe in God. But yet down deep inside, the issue about God loving you has come up in your mind, and you know it. But there's a grave warning the Bible gives, Jesus gave it, about rejecting God's love. Listen, I would be giving you a false hope and false representation of the gospel if I didn't tell you this next verse. In Matthew 10:31, Jesus says, do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Talking about your life, how much God loves and values your life. But listen, the very next verse says, therefore. Therefore means do something about it. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. The word in Greek implies this. Church, are you listening? That there's going to come a day when we will stand, not here, but in heaven. And there'll be no word spoken by us. You will not be able to confess him then. You will have already had confessed him or denied him then. Jesus is talking about a futuristic moment. There's going to be a time when you and he are standing in the great court of eternity. And Jesus, this is what it means. I'm not making it up. Jesus will be in the middle. And he's going to say, Father, this is Jack. And in life, he confessed me. And the Father's going to say, Jack, come on in. Welcome home. What about you? Jesus went on to say in that same portion of scripture, he said, he who denies me before men, I must deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Listen to me. How can this be when he did everything he could to get you and I saved, washed, clean, forgiven, guilt-free? And he's going to stand there, by the way, the Bible says, with the scars of his sacrifice. The scripture says that his hands and his feet will, in that day, display the holes. You'll have no excuse. You'll have no way of backing up your unbelief. It will be and will have been your choice. And I don't want you, in the hearing of my voice, I don't want you to make that horrible decision to say no to the love of God. Don't reject him. Don't refuse him. Also this, the ultimate hope is that God has cared for you. He has cared for you. You can't neglect that truth. He has cared for every one of us. Is the world gone mad? Is the world crazy? Are things evaporating? Is unemployment up? Is the dollar down? Is gas up? Is gas up? Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen in the world, these are the beginning of sorrows. You mean it's not over yet? And you know down deep inside, I'm speaking to the non-Christian right now, you know down deep inside that voice is saying to you, you need to get ready. And it's not buying meals ready to eat and extra water. And look, we live in California. You should have that anyway just because of earthquakes. You know, it kind of goes with the territory. But you know down deep inside, he is saying to you, something big's coming. And you need to know me. God cares for you. And there's something to be done about that. Listen to this. In Psalm 115:11. Listen to his words. You who reverence the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. And he will bless us. He will bless those who fear him. both small and great. May the Lord increase and give you more and more, both you and your children. Does God not care for us? No one right here, right now can honestly stand up and say in your life, God didn't care for me. Isn't that amazing? The very breath you're using to say he doesn't care. The very, very action you're taking to indict him is given by him. Why do you think in Psalm 150 the Bible says that everything that has breath is to praise the Lord? The greatest picture, in my opinion, of all of humanity that brings you and I the ultimate peace and comfort, listen, is the cross of Jesus Christ, because there's this resurrection Sunday morning. It's the cross. He paid my sin debt, his atoning blood. But how do I know for sure? And how can I make absolute confidence of putting my faith in him? How can I make that move? Ah, my friend, because Christ was risen from the grave. You either believe that this morning or you don't. You know, what you believe matters. Right now, today, think about things that have gone on in your life and you say, well, you know, I used to believe, or I used to think that, or I had this opinion before. Imagine, play along with me now. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 months ago, 50 years ago, you made a decision regarding something, and now today you would say, if I had to do it over again, old people say that. Have you heard that? I say that all the time now. If I had to do it all over again, what are you saying? I would change my mind based upon certain things I would do, certain things I wouldn't do. You have this incredible luxury of hindsight, right? Imagine today will someday soon be over. This month will be over. Your lifetime will be over. There's going to be another day, someday in the future, and you will stand again and you'll say or ask, if I had the chance to do it all over again, and God is going to bring into your remembrance. I know this. It's not me. Look at me. I'm a frail little man, but before the eternal God, I give you this, his word. He's going to ask you and I someday yet in the future. You had a chance to make a decision. You had the opportunity to say yes to Christ. Did you make it? Why didn't you say yes? I gave you every opportunity. I gave you every moment of your life because I've cared for you. Number two, point number two today, only the cross in light of the great resurrection showed you and I, listen, undeniable truth. Undeniable truth. This gets me excited. Undeniable truth. Number one, the undeniable truth is that God knows you. Does that scare you? It used to scare me. When I didn't know the love of God and I didn't know God and thought, if God exists, then he's got to be smart. And if he exists, then he knows everything. And that used to scare me. I remember, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll never know. I'll take it to my grave. But some friends and I, we were goofing off one time and my sister caught us. She looked at me. She was 10 years older than me. She looked. And the next thing in my mind, because I could trust my sister. The next thing in my mind was, if she says, I'm going to tell Dad, then suicide is definitely an option. Either suicide or murder. Not me murdering her. My dad murdering me. Thus, suicide's the option. And she looked at me. She shook her head with a little face of disappointment. Big sister shook her face with disappointment and walked away. She never said a word. Did you know that every time I saw my sister's face, from that time on, that would come up in my mind. She knows something. Politicians are afraid of that. In fact, why would you run for office when people just make something up anyway? It doesn't have to be true. You say, wait a minute, you don't have to run for office to have somebody make stuff up about you. Listen, people can make up stuff all they want about us. Listen, it can be as false as the day is long. There's enough truth about us that ain't good, that just you and I know about just only you and I, that causes you and I to say, oh God, please do not remember the sins of my youth. Did you know that's a Bible verse? Isn't the Bible amazing? David writes, oh God, please, Lord, please. King David, don't remember the sins of my youth. Now, we're stinkers because the first thing we do when we read that verse, we go, whoa, 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 David, what's the big deal? David, what are you afraid of? David would say to us, hey, you know what? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed my sin from me. I can say that today. You say, yeah, but what about your sister? Oh, that's cool. Thanks for asking. My sister wound up later on in life. In fact, I got to lead my sister to Jesus. She's in heaven today right now. She's having a great day. And you know what's cool? What she knew about me, she knows no more. Why? The atoning blood of Christ. And God, who is the only one in this life, don't forget this, he's the only one in this life that the Bible says forgets. You see, well, you just forgot a song a moment ago. That's not the kind of forgetting I'm talking about. God has the divine power to forget it, forget. Forgiveness we'll talk about later. Forget. God can forget everything that you and I have done against him. Sinned in secret, sinned in public, bad thought, lustful thought, angry mood. When you come to Jesus, when you come to the cross, when you look at that empty tomb and you read the Bible, there's life, undeniable truth. God knows. Isaiah 55:6 tells us, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's an urgent call, by the way. It implies he will not always be able to be found. Call on him while he is near. Is he speaking to you today? Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will freely pardon. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, listen everyone, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's what God says. Is that awesome or what? I love it. Oh, but with that good news, there's some bad news. In Jeremiah 17:9. Listen, this is where the Holy Spirit's going to use this verse to upset some people this morning in here. And we'll know who you are because you're going to run for the door. So get your phone out or get your camera out, because someone's going to say, I can't believe it. I am out of here. I understand that. That's why you go to church once a year. That's all you can handle. I understand that. I want to encourage you, though. You got to hear this all the way through. It's like what old J. Vernon McGee says, when you take a rock and you throw it into a pack of dogs, how do you know if you hit one? He says, how do you know if you hit one of those dogs with the rock? There's a pack of them. There's only one dog. Only one dog is going to go, yep. Only one. His buddies aren't going to go, yahoo. What is it? Have you ever seen dogs get scared and the other dogs are like, what? What is it? One dog got hit. And this verse in a moment is going to go out and it's going to hit you and you're going to choose to run or you're going to say, that hurt. The reason why it hurts is because there's still a chance for you to say yes to the forgiveness of God. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of us humans are deceitfully wicked above all things. Beyond cure. Who can understand it? Next verse. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Doesn't that put fear in you? Puts fear in me. And then when the Bible tells me that, for example, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, the thoughts that I think towards you are for your hope, for your future, and are good thoughts. Yes. Yes. Jesus said it this way in Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known to light when I come. Jesus is coming again. The undeniable truth, secondly, is this, is that God sees you. He sees you. He's the God that sees. That's one of his names, by the way. The God who sees all. In symbolic language, the Bible says that the seven eyes of the Holy Spirit are upon us. Does the Holy Spirit have seven eyes? No. That word means complete, perfect. Seven is the number in God's numerology of perfection, purity. God sees everything. Psalm 139. Listen to this. You guys okay? Yes. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, where can I go from your Holy Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You can't. Boy, do we not know that? You see the drunk man running from his life and from everything rotten and all the stuff that's happened to him. And he's in the corner trying to hide and drink himself into oblivion. And God is there whispering to him what? I love you. Turn from your ways. There's the high-end executive in Hollywood in the high-rise. And he's got all the money in the world. And without Christ, he's got nothing. And God says, I'm with you in that office. That man may be thinking, I got the corner office. And I got the world by the tail. He doesn't have the corner office. God had it before the guy ever moved into it. God was there. Think of that. I read the other day that Ryan Seacrest, you know who Ryan Seacrest is, right? This is American Idol. Ryan Seacrest. He looks like a nice guy to me. He seems like a very nice man. People say he's a very, very nice man. And did you know that his peers, those in Hollywood, have declared that there's no doubt in all of Hollywood that there's no harder worker, there's no man that works harder than Ryan Seacrest. I just thought he did American Idol program. And he owns tons of restaurants. He owns tons of businesses. And he's a really hardworking man. And I guess he hosts this TV program that is hugely global and all this stuff. And you think about this. He's a young man. With all that he has acquired, I can tell you something right now that Ryan Seacrest may not admit. I'll say it for him. If he doesn't know Jesus, he's searching inside this morning. Did you know that he's wondering right now today, at some point in time today, what about this Easter thing? Did you know that? Think about that. This day, boy, did you see the news? This day drives some people crazy. Did you know that? Some people want this day stopped. I love that kind of talk. We want to outlaw Easter. Bring it on. Isn't that funny? You know what drives Lady Gaga cuckoo? Did you see the news? She hates Easter. Well, no wonder the poor thing looks and dresses like she does, man. Listen, she's trying to find out who she is. She's trying to find out about life. She needs Jesus. Did you know God loves Lady Gaga? I want outlaw. I don't think he, Christian, drive me crazy. That's okay. That's all right. Forget about us. Jesus loves Lady Gaga, Ryan Seacrest, the drunk in the corner, the executive on the corner. He says again in Psalm 139, the psalmist says, if I take the wings of the dawn, you're there. If I go to the other side of the seas, you're there. Even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I surely say the darkness will hide me, even there in the darkness, it becomes light all around me. Listen to the mind, Christian. Listen, non-Christian. Even the darkness, he says, will be dark to me, but not to you, God. For you created me while I was in my mother's womb. That's 3,000-year-old writing from King David. Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees all, knows all, says the Bible. Listen to this. The smartest guy that's ever lived, the wisest man that has ever lived, and nobody comes close, nobody will even dare challenge it, is Solomon. What does the Bible say? Remember, Solomon, he got so much, and then he got his eyes off of God. Remember, he married all these... Now, they say they were political marriages. God said, don't add to yourself wives or horses, and don't count people. And he did all that stuff when he got his eyes off of God. We do stupid things when we get our eyes off of God. And he had all these wives. Solomon certainly backslid in his walk with God. And what does he say? Listen, as he's an old man now and he's returned back to God. You know, Benjamin Franklin did that. You won't hear this in public school. Benjamin Franklin grew up knowing Jesus, being taught the scriptures, and considered becoming a preacher. Did you know that? And then he went to Europe. He fled from an abusive father. And I think it was at the age of 14 or 15, he caught a ship. And he went to London and he worked in a printing press. Benjamin Franklin, and he even says, he goes, I sowed to my flesh, and of my flesh I reaped corruption. In about the last 15 years of Benjamin Franklin's life, very few people want to quote in public schools these days or even mention. But Franklin says, I've lived a long time, and I've done all this stuff, and I've come back to Christ. And in that great statement, he makes this one thing I know, that God governs, he presides over the affairs of men. Read the later writings of Franklin. Why? Because they sound like the latter writings of Solomon when he said, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Here's the conclusion. The wisest man in the world has ever said, ever been. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is all to man. For God will bring every work into his judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. He goes on and says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, listen, and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. The old man grew up and said, there's a coming day. There's the undeniable truth that God hears you and I. And as we get close to wrapping this message up, God is wanting to hear something special from you. He always hears us. He's always listening. Psalm 139 verses 4 through 6 says, before a word is in my mouth, God knows it completely. You, O Lord, he says, hear me. I don't want to offend anybody with what I'm about to say. Don't take it wrong. I'm sure it will be taken wrong somehow. But did you see the news this week? Kobe Bryant got in big trouble. Because he said that something came out of his mouth that nobody was supposed to hear. He wasn't thinking about it. And he made a homosexual slur to, was it a ref or something? Or coach? Or oh, ref? And listen, he actually said... blank, and then the homosexual slur, which I actually haven't read the statement, but this is how it's played on the news. He used a curse word and then a defining word. And did you know he got in huge trouble? He is in huge trouble. And the NBA has taken $100,000 from him in a fine because he used a certain word. In reference to homosexuality. And I thought about that for a moment. If I've been a Christian 35 years. If I had $100,000 for every time someone mocked me for being a Christian, I'd be a billionaire. Did you just hear what I just said? Can you think about that for a moment? The next time I issue a law, the next time, because God hears everything, the next time somebody says Jesus Christ in not a good way should have to tie the $100,000 to the church they're standing the closest to. Why not? You can't say you disagree with that. You can't say you disagree. Because if somebody says something and gets fined, then wait a minute. Where do you draw the line on this? Well, we have to have responsible free speech. I understand that. Just understand something. The Bible says offenses will come to you and I in life. And what is the world's defense? I'm suing you. We're fining you $100,000. Guess what? If we do that, cannot God, who is purely holy, on that final day, say, did I hear you say? Do you remember back there in the 21st century, 2011? Did I hear you say something about my son? Or you called me a what? Ladies and gentlemen, that will be a fact. God hears everything. And you say, Jack, you're scaring me to death. I'm trying to right now. Because there's one thing that can fix that. It could be the next thing that he hears from your lips that will wash away all the other things. Because of the atoning blood of Jesus and the resurrected Christ. The righteous, the Bible says, you say righteous, well, I'll never be righteous. Ah, let me tell you, the Psalm 34:17 says the righteous cry out to God and the Lord hears him and delivers him from all of his troubles. Listen, everybody. You become righteous by trusting Jesus. You can never become righteous by being good enough. Also this, and we'll close here. On the cross, only on the cross, we get the offer, you and I, of unconditional access. And this blows my mind. I want you to think right now, as this message comes to an end, I want you to think right now, church, friends, family, visitors, listen. Only the cross offers you and I unconditional access. There's no way. If you ever saw a key that fits in a door, the door being heaven, the key is the cross. You've got to have the cross to put in the door that turns the key latch open. The door opens up to the glorious benefits of an empty tomb. The unconditional access is, number one, grace. Grace. No one cares about grace unless they're in need. And if you don't see yourself in need, there's nothing I can do about that. Unconditional access to heaven. Is it possible? Oh, yes, the Bible says it's possible. But it's by God's grace. God's grace means that he has become everything to you. Your forgiveness, your mercy, yes, and all that. But grace is an amazing thing because God says, this is what I give to those who turn to me. Without any earnings, without any effort. Listen, it requires nothing on your part but to turn to Jesus and acknowledge him. To say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and I turn to you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does your life need his grace today? Secondly, this forgiveness, the unconditional access is forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness. Jesus in John chapter 8, we use this verse a lot, and it is tremendous. But in the age of Jesus, and my goodness, I think of people today who live in cultures today, and it's increasing more in America where women who belong to a certain religious cult are are either accused, found out to be, or someone accuses them of adultery or some sort of sexual misconduct, they're stoned or killed. Did you know that? And Jesus was walking on the street and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in the act of adultery. And they said to him, "The law says this woman should be stoned to death. What do you say?" And Jesus, imagine for a moment, it would have been a glorious thing to see. Jesus might have looked somewhat like this. "Yep, that's what the law says. Listen, everyone. Yeah, that's what the law says. And the law is tremendous. There's no doubt about it. But is there something greater than the law?" Well, the only thing greater than the law would be the lawgiver. "Yeah, that's what the law says. So why don't we get some stones? You guys all gather some stones. Get some good ones. And here's the rules." You guys know what I'm going to say, right? "Whoever's without sin..." Let me get out of the way now. "Whoever is without sin, throw the first stone." So go for it. Can you imagine those guys standing there with a rock in their hands? Their eyes were filled with fury. And they got a rock. And conviction comes on them. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like saying, "You know what? That person what?" Jesus would say, "Here's a rock. If you're without sin, go ahead and throw it." And all these guys in all of their religious stuff, incredible clothes, incredible, ostentatious apparel. It was trimmed with gold thread and silver thread and all of this stuff. And they got rocks in their hands. And they can't condemn her because the Holy Spirit is convicting them. And I want to ask you this morning, how will you go to heaven? How will you get there? Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave. But how will you get there? Have you experienced his forgiveness? I was told recently by this man that he belongs to the fastest growing religion on earth. And you know what it has? No cross, no Christ, and no forgiveness. Jesus said you can be forgiven. He wants to forgive you. What an amazing God we have. He wants to forgive you and I right now and every day. Which we close with this, which leads this amazing Christ to this great declaration, life. He wants us to have everlasting life, unconditional access to life. Life, ladies and gentlemen, you can close your Bibles. We're done. Listen, life. Access to unconditional life, forever life. Can you imagine? I told those high schoolers, forgive me for talking so direct to them. The other day, I said, listen, there's not a kid in this room. There's not one of you in this room right now that doesn't want to live forever. Everybody wants to live. You'll do anything to live. If your kid's sick, you'll sell your house. You'll take out a loan. You'll do anything to get your kid fixed. And I said, you think for a moment that that's not true? When people... Right here in Southern California, they're having artificial... Did you know they're having rear ends put in their butt? Did you know that? Did you know you can get a new butt? Why? Because it looks more full. Did you know that if you're not happy with any body part, you can go to Newport or Hollywood and you can get a new one? It may not be real, but it will be a new one. Why do people do this? Listen. Because they're trying to continue vitality or youth. Okay? I get up in the morning now. I take so many vitamins, honestly, that by the time I'm done taking my vitamins, I'm not even hungry anymore. I'm not kidding, man. Why? This one's for my back. This one's for my eyes. This one's for my elbow. Life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, if a man dies believing in me, that moment of death, imagine the moment you'll breathe your last breath. For me, Lisa and I were talking about this last night. And I told you, I've told you guys before, I said, look, because we're discussing death. It was a great topic. You should have been there. It was fantastic. No, really, it was great because we're talking about this and talking about that. And I said, you know, with all these troubles, in fact, what started it was a news broadcast. Somebody's on January 1st, 2012, you'll be tithing to the government like you have never tithed to the government before. All of us. So we got on a talk and we got on a discussion. And I told her this. I said, listen, the last breath I breathe on this planet, the next breath I breathe, which will be in an instant, will be before God, says the Bible. And I said, I just want to fast forward to that moment of seeing him. And she goes, yeah, that's going to be so awesome. I said, the only part I don't like, it's getting to the dead part. It's getting to the dead part. Can you just fast forward everything to the last minute and a half? You know what I'm saying? It's like seeing a woman having a baby. She said, what do you want to do this for? Have a baby? It looks painful. It looks a baby's going to come out of a human being. That's too much pain. And she's crying and screaming. And then the baby comes out. She goes, when are we going to have another one? Are you crazy? You get to the thing and you think it's all over. And then you'll grasp, you'll take your last breath on earth. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we'll take that last moment. And Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. And he dismissed his spirit. And the very next thing out of his mouth on Sunday morning was rejoice. Oh, man. Okay, look, I have to just put a sock in it now. It's over. You've got to decide. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray. Nobody moves right now. Nobody. Ushers have been programmed to tackle anyone moving right now. Don't disrupt someone's decision. If you're a Christian, that's awesome. You're going to heaven, great. But the person next to you may not have made this decision before. Let's bow our heads. All Christians, be praying for those that are around you. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would move in the hearts and minds of those that are here right now. And Father God, we look around at the world. It's coming undone. Economic world markets are failing. Just as the Bible said, thousands of years ago, the Middle East will become the hotbed of the last efforts of man in the history of the world. Where the Bible says that Jerusalem would become the battle topic of the ages. Here we are. And all along the way, the Bible says that we need a Savior. And my friends, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you right now, if you'd make a decision for Jesus, no one peeks. Remember I talked about how Jesus, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to ask you right now, I'm going to ask you something simply and bold. And I got to tell you, I'm out of time, so I got to go quick. I'm sorry for that. But you're a grown up. Has God spoken to you today about publicly confessing Jesus Christ? There's two groups of people I'm speaking to right now. And I pray God touches your heart. Number one, if you're a Christian and you've walked away from Jesus, you better hurry back. And today's the day. And today, maybe you're not a Christian. And please understand, I am not asking you to join this church because you can't. We don't want membership. We don't have membership here. You need to meet Jesus. We may never see you again. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Have you ever acknowledged Jesus Christ? While this song is going to be played, I'm going to ask you right now personally that you'd respond by getting up out of your seat and coming forward to the front of these steps right here. And I want to pray for you at the end of this song. And I know there's a lot of people here right now and that makes you nervous. I understand that. But listen, trust me, my friend, You'll never live to regret it, both now and forever. Christians, be praying. And those who want salvation, come forward now. Don't hesitate. In Jesus' name, come on forward. It's an awesome thing to realize that God, right here, right now, is watching and listening. And I'm going to lead these right here in a prayer. And here's the awesome thing about this. Right now in this room, God, who is eternal and knows all, He is recording the moment. These have come forward and they're nervous. Aren't you nervous? I know. I remember. But you knew down deep inside, I got to do this. It's time for me to do this. And then there are many of you that are saying, thank God I remember doing that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then there are some of you who can't wait to get out of here. And that's the saddest thing of all. It's not about here and it's not about out there. It's about that you've missed the opportunity to accept Jesus. And listen, all I can say, if you continue to sit and reject, is may God have mercy on you. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you to bless these that are here right now. And Lord, as you hear this prayer from their hearts, Father, I ask you right now that you would overwhelm them with what you've done to us. Those of you standing here right now, will you pray this prayer out loud? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now. Forgive me of my sins. I confess publicly today that you died on the cross and you rose again from the grave to forgive me of my sins. And for that, I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, right now.